Sorry, I guess I'm supposed to holler. Man, well, some of you, or most of you, actually, probably know me. I'm Lauren. I'm usually up there leading the worship team, but I was really thankful Jonah stepped in to do that for me tonight. And I'm yes, they're awesome. So awesome. And I get to preach tonight. Y'all did it early, and I go through, I was like, oh my gosh, the pressure. It's exciting, though. On the way over here, I definitely feel way more comfortable behind a microphone singing than I do speaking. But on the way over here, I was praying. I was like, okay, God, you got to help me. And I looked over, and you know what the license plate of the car next to me said? Serenity. Like, it was, I mean, it definitely was not spelled. It was spelled like S-R-I-N-I-T-Y, but it was serenity. And I was like, okay, you know what? That's such a good reminder of where I'm going and what I have that allows me to do the things that he's called me to do. And that goes for you guys. So I'm so glad that you guys are here at Serenity tonight. And I hope you're able to remember and receive that because he always has that for us. Right now, I know people were handing out some bulletins as you came in, but if you didn't get a bulletin that has everything that's going on here at Serenity and also a fill-in-the-blank outline for the message tonight, yeah, Teresa's already got the, she's got it down. Just raise your hand, and someone will be able to come by and bring you both a bulletin, and then if you need a pen, just let them know because they have those as well. Fill-in-the-blank always helps you stay a little focused and remember, which is always helpful. So I wanted to start tonight with a question. How has doing things your own way worked out for you? Okay, that's about the reaction I thought I'd have. We're like, that's a question. Yeah, I'm sure you could all get up here and share a story about how that might have worked out for you at different times in your life. And yeah, we all deal with that pretty often. And I saw this meme on the internet this week, so if we can throw that up there, if it's on there. I didn't double check to make sure it was, oh, there it is. Anybody relate to that one? It's like, you can't control everything. Your hair was put on your head to remind you of that. And I was like, just like the things we try to control, then it's like, there's just no way it's ever gonna happen. It never goes the way you plan. Maybe that's more relatable to the females, but I know there's a number of balding people in the house as well, so that even the lack of hair can remind you. You didn't really have control over that one. My husband's one of those people, so I can say it. so you can do all you want, but you know, sometimes things escape our control no matter what. Actually, they always escape our control. Who are we kidding? If the things we try hardest to control are usually the things that slip through our hands the most. And even when we do everything right, still things don't. We have someone raising their hand. They do everything right. Well, we'll meet me after, sir. there's a little meeting called Overcomers you should attend. Even when we do everything right, they still don't work out. And while we can't control a lot of things, there is one thing that we can control, what we focus on. And so that's what we're going to kind of talk about tonight. And asking yourself, where are your efforts and your attention currently focused? And tonight we're going to look at the book of Haggai to talk about that. And some of y'all are like, there's a book of the Bible called that? Yes, it's very tiny. It's two chapters, and it's one of the minor prophets, so it's an easy one to skip over. And one that someone gave me a Bible study about the book of Haggai, and I was like, I don't even remember what that book like is about or says. Because most of the books of the Bible, I'm like, I at least have like an idea of like, oh yeah, I know who wrote that or the theme of it or what they're talking about. And that one, I was like, coming up empty on Haggai. But there's some really great things, and so now if someone ever mentions Haggai, you're going to be like, oh, yes, I understand that book. You'll be fully equipped after this 20-minute message. Not really, but there's some really important things that we're going to look at in the book of Haggai tonight that I think will make you feel equipped, and as you'll see, the title of the message tonight is called Consider Your Ways. So just focusing on what are we putting our attention toward, what are we focusing on, and then considering our ways and making sure those align with the things that we want to focus on, that we're called to focus on. I definitely did have to look in the book of Haggai, or in the the table of contents in the front of my Bible to figure out exactly where Haggai is, because when it's just two chapters, it's really easy to skip over. So if you've got your Bible with you, then you can do that real quick, or if it's on your phone, that makes it even easier. I'm actually using my real Serenity Bible that I got when I became a pastor here, Pastor Lauren Netherland, because I love it. So yes, it's awesome. So we're going to start in that book just at the very beginning, a very good place to start. So Haggai 1, starting with verse 1. So it says, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Yeah, I made up how to pronounce all those. You can too. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord, so he's saying, this is what everybody in Israel is thinking. It's not time for that yet. And then he says, well, this is what the word of the Lord is saying, what he's saying, and is coming through Haggai. He said, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? Why, this house remains a ruin. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. So we're going to kind of go in and slowly digest all that we just read. So here, I love, because like the things that we focus on, where we go, okay, you know what? I don't think it's really time for me to do that yet. You know, maybe something that you're like, okay, you know, I feel like God's called me to this. Or I know this is the right thing to do, but I'm on a journey. I'm just at step one. Like maybe that's for a later time. And then God comes to Haggai and says, hey, you actually need these people who are sitting here saying, like, oh, you know what, I'll get around to that important thing. Like, I know, like, my spiritual health, or I know my walk with God is important. I know I should be praying. I know I should read my Bible, because I know God's got good things to say. And I know the guilt for me growing up of saying, like, you need to pray and read your Bible every day. You need to pray and read your Bible every day has not helped me in my life. So I'm not trying to put that guilt on you, because I want to read the Bible because it's God's word, and it's his word of his love and encouragement. And so when I need that encouragement to not go to friends or husband or just distract myself and scroll Facebook, but to go like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm going to seek my Heavenly Father and see what he has to say to me. So whatever it is, but turning to God instead of turning to those other things. Yeah, and then he's like, they're just distracting themselves with these other things. And so he says, he has Haggai say to his people, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? And that verse to me, I was like, oh, like that verse hits really hard. Maybe not if you leave it in their context, but if you put it in our context, I think the fact that he specifies paneled houses, that to me sounds like probably a house that was a little bit nicer. Like they're working on all of their projects. We're like, oh, well, I have been wanting to repaint the kitchen cabinets. When God's house over here, their spiritual lives, is sitting in ruins. And they're finding all these little things that they can fix and they can focus on and they can do here. And it's like, man, but you're neglecting the most important thing. You're neglecting the Lord's house. And in this context, in Haggai, this was before Jesus came. And so the Lord's house was literally the temple. That was in this, that's where you went to worship God. But for us now, we are under the new covenant. We've had Jesus. And when, you know, you've heard the phrase, invite Jesus into your heart. And that's just saying, hey, your life, that's where he dwells. He dwells in you. It's not just a separate building. We don't have to wait to talk to God or encounter God when we come to a space like this. It's like, hey, he's with you. And so building that spiritual house is you building your life, building that relationship with Jesus. And so it might help for you to take that context when it says, look, hey, are you working on your paneled houses? Why the Lord's house lies in ruins? It's talking about, hey, are you focusing on all the little things that you can do in your own personal life? And there's a lot of those things are really healthy, you know. There are some really great things about our culture being really focused on mental health and self-care recently. Those are really big things. But your mental health and your self-care are never going to be more beneficial to you or more valuable to you than your spiritual life and your spiritual health. Because you can't truly have mental peace, and you can't truly be taking care of yourself if you're neglecting your soul. You know, that's the most important part of you. And so that's where when we're saying consider your ways, We're going to get to that phrase a little later in this book, but that's really what I'm wanting us to focus in, to really tonight not only just talk about these things, but really take some time and consider your ways. Like, what are the paneled houses in your life right now? And where is that temple line and ruin that you want to say, like, hey, you know what, God? I think that these ruins over here need some rehabilitation. So do some DIY with the Holy Spirit. I'm all about DIYs, though, so we're all about that. In your notes, I believe you have the, I know where it is. Okay, so when I was reading that, is it a time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? I was reading the Blue Letter Bible. I was reading just some commentaries about that passage, and one scholar posed a question this way about thinking about that phrase. It says this, and this is in your notes. It says, do you owe so much to yourselves and so little to your God? Yeah, I was like, wow. That's not original to me, but that is, it's a good question. Do you owe so much to yourselves and so little to your God? It's like, man, the God of the universe who created everything, who gave us life, who gave us everything that we have, that we would focus on our exercise routine or our eating habits or climbing the ladder at work or, you know, whatever those things are, which they're perfectly great and good things, but when we sacrifice our spiritual health and our relationship with God to build those things, we are letting his house lie in ruins. So moving on, talking about verses 5 and 6, you know, where he calls them out on this. He's like, is that really where you want to put your attention and that's what you want to focus on? Because this is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 5. He says, give careful thought to your ways. And he's like, okay, think about that. You've planted much but harvested little. So here he's going through and he's laying, you've done this and this has been the result. You've done this and this has been the result. And so this is him saying, how's that working out for you? You know, where he's like, okay, yeah, you know what? You've gone to therapy every day or every week for the past 6 months and you've made some good strides, and that's really great, but, like, how's your soul? And, like, how, you know, is that working, doing that on your own? And, you know, we can even apply that here. I'm sure, I know many of my friends who are on a sobriety journey or trying to quit smoking or whatever, most people have tried that journey a couple of times on their own, and it didn't work out so well. And then, you know, you come into a place like this in a community or serenity where you say, hey, you know what? Higher power is Jesus Christ, and he helps us do this, and we do this with the help of our community. And, you know, you get a really different result. As they say, it works if you work it, and it won't if you don't, right? and so he's saying, like, hey, like, and I think the heart of it isn't for God to be pointing out and being like, well, try that without me and see how it works out. I think it's because he wants us to succeed, and he's like, I have what you need to succeed. He's given us his Holy Spirit. You know, that's, if you're familiar with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all God. So, and Holy Spirit, before Jesus came and then ascended back to heaven, we didn't have the Holy Spirit. But now, when you accept Jesus into your life, he's like, hey, you know what? I am, like, literally, I'm with you. You have my Holy Spirit to guide you. And so we can do anything in partnership with his Holy Spirit. And that's an incredible gift. And Haggai did not have that help. They didn't have that yet. Jesus hadn't come yet. But we have access to that. So how much more? How much more can we succeed because he's given us his Holy Spirit? So I want to keep on going. I know my favorite way to preach is just to be like, let's just read God's word and talk about what it says. Like, it's so rich. So we're going to keep on reading, still in chapter 1, just continuing with verses 7 and 8. So it says, this is what the Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. Seeing a theme there? Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out. Oh, I read further than I said I was going to. Verse 8. So there's so much good stuff, y'all. I just want to, like, charge ahead. So one step at a time, one verse at a time. So again, he's saying this, give careful thought to your ways. So stop and think about what you're doing. How's it working out for you? And that takes some time. It's probably not something that you'll be able to do just tonight and then go on your way. Like, I really hope that this is something that throughout the week you go, okay, consider your ways. You think about as you're driving in the car to work, are you going to listen to whatever music you usually listen to? Are you like, you know what, I want to listen to a podcast about a podcast of a sermon, or I want to listen to worship music, or even for me today on the way over here, because I was like, I was getting nervous about preaching. I was like, you know what, I need to turn it all off, and I was just going to pray and drive and just like sit in silence with my God. So you know, like it's all those little steps that's how you build your house. You don't build your house, be like, one day, let's get it done. You know, like anybody who's had a house built or seen a neighbor remodeling or had anything done, you know, like it's a process. It takes some time. And so I think it's just considering your ways day by day, giving careful thought to those little moments. Be like, okay, how should I use this time that I've been given? Yeah, so let's go ahead and keep on reading. Now we can move on to verses 9 through 11. It says, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. So they are putting all their attention on those paneled houses, working to take care of their needs and neglecting their spiritual health. And I think here we have to remind ourselves that anything of true worth cannot be accomplished without the help of the Holy Spirit. The greatest impact the steps or any Christian action can have on a person is the one who takes that action not in his own strength, but with God's help. So after God says, like, hey, you know, this is why that's not, you're not seeing the things that you thought you would. We see in verses 12 through 14 that they took action based on what God says, like, hey, what do you need to do about that? So Zerubbabel, Joshua, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people, what did they do? If you're reading, it says they obeyed. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Then he gave this message that says, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. So from that, I just want us to take home this idea of just take action. Start building God's house with the help of his spirit. And then in the next couple verses, we see a lot of phrases that says, be strong and work, for I am with you, and fear not, and my spirit remains in your midst. God was truly working alongside with and for his people. He's not just a demanding God who's aloof from our situations, waiting for us to get it right. He's rooting for you, and he wants to partner with you in building both your house and his. So Haggai 2, 4 through 9, so we're going to skip a little bit and jump ahead, and we'll see that where it says all those phrases. But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty, and in his place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. So for you guys, as we've just talked about, like, hey, like, what is it that you need to focus on? How do you need to be building your spiritual house? I want you to take those phrases from verses 4 and 5 for yourself. Be strong. Be strong. And work, for I am with you. You can do it. You know, because sometimes we get overwhelmed with the amount of work to be done with things, and we just go, but we can do it. We can do those things. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. And so I want you to take that that with you. And when you doubt it, you know, the worship songs we sing, when I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. Like, you're an artist and I'm the potter, or you're the potter and I'm the clay. You know, it's like, when we doubt it, let him remind you, be strong. Like, you've got this. And not just because you've got this, but because I, the Lord, am with you. And so I love that even as he calls out his people, he also encourages them. He's like, yes, like, you can do it and I will do it for you. And then as we see, as they continue on in verses 6-9, and all the things previously where he said, hey, you planted and you didn't really get much of a harvest and you did this and it didn't really, he says, you know what? I'm going to shake the heavens, I'm going to shake the earth, and I'm going to provide for you what you need. And so that's the other thing that I think is the most beautiful thing about this building his temple. It's not just your temple to go and maintain, where he's like, hey, you know what? Your spiritual house, like, you do you, you take care of it, and you let me know when you've got it right. He's like, you know what? Like, we're building something together. But more than that, it's like, you build it, and he fills it. You know, I was like, that's such a good reminder. Like, we do the groundwork, but he's in every moment, and he wants to fill you up, and one of my favorite verses, it says, he didn't just come to give you life, he came to give you life abundantly, you know, and that's what he has for you, and that's what he wants for you, and so it's not just this good spiritual work that we must do. It's like, man, like, we're building something awesome alongside him, and he's going to fill it up, and he's going to fill our hearts up. You know, there's so much. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. You don't have to go out and try to be a good Christian or a patient someone. You know, it's like, you don't just have to go out and, like, use all your might to make it happen. Those are things that are the fruits of the Spirit. So you build it and he will fill it, because he's faithful to do that when we partner with him. He wants to bless us. Yeah, when I was reading through this and I was thinking about, okay, what's the, like, visual for that? I'm a very visual person. Anybody in here like to play video games? Okay, I'm sure we got at least a couple. Any Mario Kart fans? Or at least at one point in your life? So, okay. Yeah, so we never had that at my house growing up. My parents didn't have TV, and I had all sorts of restrictions, but one of my best friends, they had Mario Kart. So every time we went over there, we played lots of Mario Kart. And so when I was thinking about what it's like when we're following God and working with him on something, it just reminded me of when you see those little trails and there's, like, all the gold coins, and you're like, you could go on your own path, but if you're able to get your little cart in the right path, you get all the gold coins. And when you get the gold coins, like, really cool stuff drops down that you get to keep in your invisible backpack, then pull out bananas and stuff later, you know? And so I was like, man, I feel like that's what it's like when we're really working with God and partnering with him. It's like, he's not just wanting to be like, are you on the right path, son? You know, it's like, gold coins, you know, like, I feel like that's God's heart for us, and he's got good things in store for us. And so when we're doing that spiritual work, it's not just a spiritual work. Yes, it's okay to think of Bible stories and Mario Kart terms, like, it helps, and just God's heart for us, you know, like, he wants good things for you, he wants you to succeed. And so I know sometimes when, like I said at the beginning, when I was like, man, growing up, I ended up having, like, an unhealthy relationship with the Bible, because I was like, you have to read it every day, and if I didn't read it every day and I missed a day, then I was like, no, I can never read it again because I already ruined it all. But, like, that's not perfectionist over here. But it's like, man, it's not a trying to prove or earn or do everything right and check all the boxes. It's that he wants you to build it so that he can fill it, and he has all these blessings, and those gold coins and turtle shells and banana peels can, you know, you got them for when you need them. That is, like, he just has good things for you, and so that's where we're like, okay, consider your ways. Are you on the gold coin trail, or are you doing your own thing and working really hard at it? But it's something where you can partner with him. You know, if you go, you know, like, hey, I really have some, like, mental health struggles that I'm dealing with. Yes, see a counselor and a therapist. That's really helpful. And yes, acknowledge that that's something you're struggling with. But are you taking it to the Lord in prayer too? Are you inviting other people into that and saying, like, hey, I'm I'm struggling with this. Whatever it is, it's not that you can't work on those things and take conventional methods to help with things. You know, it's like, I have a thyroid disease and I take a thyroid medication every morning. That doesn't make me like a bad person or a bad Christian, but do I also regularly say, God, will you heal me? And do I regularly do everything I can and eat all the wonderful, nutritious food that God has put on this planet to help my body heal? Yes. And so he wants those good things for us. And so as I was thinking about kind of the heart of this message and considering our ways, a verse that I felt really summed up God's heart for us in this is Matthew 6:33. And this verse is written out in your notes as well. And this verse says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So it's not that idea of you have to choose one or the other. It's not your house or his house, and you have to choose who you like better. It's not like your best friend's in fourth grade, and you have to choose who's actually your best friend. It's not an either-or situation here. So it's like, hey, he wants you to have a great house to live in, but he's like, don't focus on this and neglect this, because this is really important. Your relationship with God and your spiritual well-being. And when I say spiritual, I'm not using our cultural spiritual, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual but not religious. You know, where it's, I very firmly believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe this is his word, that it's the living truth. And so when I say focus on your spiritual lives, I'm talking about leaning into Jesus. And what he has for you, just because I'm like, oh yeah, those are terms that our culture uses a lot now. I need to define how I'm using them. And so again, and you know, at Trinity, you know, we use the AA terms of higher power. We say, hey, but I know who that higher power is, and it's Jesus Christ. And so, because I don't think just focusing on spiritual things without Jesus, I just don't know that it builds that house. That's not his house, and that's what he's asking us to build, to partner with him in making happen. And so I don't really have a whole lot more to say. Again, my heart for tonight was just that reminder to consider your ways, because I know sometimes it's so easy to just, our culture is so go, 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 you know, it's always on to the next thing, and what's on the calendar, and what events we have going up, and I so rarely look back and examine my life and think through those things. For me, a way that really helps me consider my ways is journaling. It slows me down and it makes me think about what's going on in my life. For you, maybe it's just you need time alone just to think and ponder. I don't know what it is that helps you to consider your ways, but I think it's worth taking the time to do that. And not just consider your ways, but ask yourself that question. Am I just focused on building my own house and chasing my own priorities and the things that I've been, or maybe even things you've been told are important, maybe by your family, maybe by your church. You know, church gets things wrong too. But it's like, okay, yeah, sorry, Ken. but it's like, hey, how do you need to build his house, and not just build his house, but partner with him to be like, hey, I want that best life that you have for me. I want to seek after your kingdom and your righteousness, because I know when I seek after that, everything else is just going to fall into line, that he brings everything else into alignment when we trust those things to him and his ways. So I think the song that we're going to do is Build My Life, right? Yeah. So told Jonah, I was like, you can pick which song you like. I was like, but a song I think would go really well with this sermon is the song Build My Life. You know, they're saying, like, how are you building your life? Consider your ways. And so as we have this time ending in worship, I want you to take some time to consider, to think over your life. And not just think, because sometimes we just rely on what we can do here, but ask God. You know, sometimes I'll always, like, forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, Holy Spirit, reveal to me where I have been distracted, where I have been focused on the wrong things, because I want to build my life on you. But sometimes we've been so busy working on a project, we don't even realize we're doing it all wrong. And so just for him to ask him to reveal to you, show to you how he wants to partner with you. And remember that you guys build it together, but he'll fill it. So let's go ahead and worship together and let him fill us up.
Thank you, Lauren. is James, and I am an overcomer. All right, before the promises, I need y'all to help me out with something real quick. Everybody that is physically able to, please stand up. All right, I'll accept that. Now I need you all to turn around and face the doors. Come on, I believe in you. This is absolutely abnormal. You can do this. That lady behind the computer turned 36 last night. And I need you all to please help me in celebrating that by singing the happy birthday song. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Melanie. Happy birthday to you.
Thank y'all very much, and we have a very special praise announcement. Come on up.
Everybody's all confused. I love it.
How you doing? My name's Michael. I'm a grateful overcomer. I wanted to run here last week and tell you all about the Kairos Outside weekend we had. We were up in Oklahoma for our son's wedding, but I want to tell you, I've been doing Kairos, not only inside the prisons, but Kairos outside for the families since 2007. And this last couple of weeks ago, we had a group of ladies that across the board were the most bound up with anger, had the most just incredible hurt and angst. They were built giant walls of shame that they had built themselves. And it was just probably the hardest group of you know, people that we were trying to get the word of Jesus to that I've seen since I've been doing this since 2007. And I want to tell you what, it was Sunday morning when we did the flowers at dawn, and they were just crying. These ladies went to the cross, and they didn't carry little bags of all this pain. They had dump trucks. And they just poured them out. And it was a victory like, you know, it was a victory like I haven't seen in a long time. It was just, I mean, these ladies were just, you know, when you just see somebody who was so hurt and so bad, and then you just see them go, they're like wild-eyed walking around going, oh my God, Jesus really is real and he loves me. And it was, we were just like going, yes, 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 yes. So it was like that. It was like that. Praise God. Amen.
Thanks, Michael. All right, when we take an action, the 12 steps with the support of a sponsor, we begin to receive the 12 promises. 1, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. 2, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. 3, we will comprehend the word serenity. 4, we will know peace. 5, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. 6, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. 8. Self-seeking will slip away. 9. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. 10. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. 11. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. 12. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extremely extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Let this body represent what we can do together, but none of us can do alone. With whose help? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and it won't if you don't.